flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
We are less than a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting, BT, and I didn't have a chance to talk about it last week when Boomer made a big deal about Pete Alonso. We're still waiting for that, of course, but I did give it some thought. And you and I have had this conversation many times over the course of the last couple of years, right, since whatever we put together a couple of summers ago. And it's not that I'm changing my mind on Pete, because I do think the Mets bringing Pete back, which, by the way, we agree at this point that that is going to be the case, right? Mm-hmm. After the Fan Fest and Cohen's comments, I felt like that would bring the two sides together.
Yep.
More so than I did before when they were saying, like, it seems like Pete's going to go elsewhere. There's reasons for it. Pete doesn't have a market, end of story. Mets still need a bat in that lineup. But here's my thought, and it's gone many different ways because many different things have happened over the course of even the last month or so. I think at this point, too much damage has been done, and I think it would be a mistake for both sides to bring Pete back. I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring Pete back, and the Mets fans are going to be excited. We got our guy back, blah, 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 blah. Ignoring a lot of facts here that can lead to a bad relationship where the Mets may want him, but they don't really want him. He may want to be back, but he doesn't really want to be back. He had no other options. The Mets don't have a better option at this particular point. And not to mention Pete Alonso in his proven years, the last couple years, has done nothing. I don't believe that the Mets bringing Pete Alonso back is good for either party.
Pete Alonso, to me, is probably the most confounding subject that I've come across, honestly, certainly since I came to WFAN, and even just going back to when I was listening to WFAN, it's very, very complex. He's homegrown. He's not past his prime. He plays every day. He's productive. I feel like they kind of need him as protection for Soto, keep Vientos at third base, and the other reasons that, you know, that I think make sense from a baseball perspective. But he's so flawed. So then you could have a conversation the other way.
Right.
I think, Sal, if this was the kind of situation that, and I do agree, it's going to get done. He will be a Met.
I mean, he's getting all the choice.
He's going to be a Met. He's going to be a Met. Yeah. And I still think that that's more good than bad. I think that if Pete Alonso returning got in the way of the Mets eventually trying to get Vlad Guerrero,
yeah,
I would say we got a problem here. It's not worth it. But I don't think that you sign Juan Soto at the age of 25 for $800 million and enter year one. You never know how long these primes are. And go in with a less than lineup and try to figure things out during the season. He's not perfect. He's a one-dimensional player. But what would be behind Soto without Alonso versus Alonso right. being behind Soto, to me, is more appealing from a baseball perspective. And I could deal with the other stuff for now.
Understood. Here's my biggest issue. Like, I was in agreement with that a month ago or a month and a half ago, if they brought him back under better circumstances. The way this is dragged, like, do you think Pete is happy in this current situation?
No, okay. I think his ego is absolutely dented.
Okay, me yes. too. Right now, I don't know Pete personally, but we're just using some common sense. 100% he's got to be hurt, frustrated, probably upset at himself for turning down the deal 2 years ago, probably upset at himself for firing his then agents and going with Scott Boras, mm-hmm. upset that the market is saying what he's worth, upset that the Mets weren't willing to extend a homegrown guy who's produced, upset for not doing well enough last year. Pete Alonso is not going to be the best version of himself this year, which is why Well, I mean, we don't know that. That's my thought. Because of all those things,
okay,
I would lean toward Pete not being the best version of himself. Not to mention that we saw him in a prove-it deal last year when I thought he was going to hit 50 home runs a year ago. I said, you know what? Pete's going to bet on himself, hit 50 home runs. Mets are going to sign him. He'll get $200 million happily ever after.
Mm.
That is not the case now. Now everybody's upset. The Mets are frustrated. You heard it from the owner himself saying he's exhausted by these negotiations. Maybe they look to get other options and they couldn't find. I have no idea, but that's my bigger issue. It's not anti-Pete. It's this version of Pete not being ultimately happy combined with him again being in a prove-it deal, because in all likelihood it's going to be
opt-outs. You know, meaning if he puts up big numbers, he can opt out. So it's not quite as literally, you know, like last year. But it basically equates to the same thing. You bet on yourself, you do well, and you benefit.
A player who has declined in his performance the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Like, from the baseball perspective, okay. I get that stuff.
So that's all that I'm saying. And I get what you're saying about, well, what else would they do? And it's not going to impact Mauricio because they still need a right-handed DH anyway. So Pete will play some first. Maybe Vientos DHs a little bit. You get Mauricio, whoever you want to get, the young kid at third base or second base. Like, they'll figure that out.
Yep.
So I don't think that it hurts, like, as far as blocking anybody. But this is not the marriage that Met fans ultimately wanted, nor did Pete want. This is a, hey, you have no better options. We needed a bat. Let's just see if we can make it work for a year or two, or however long they end up coming to a deal.
So I think that, oh, by the way, you left off one important thing about why Pete might be feeling, you know, the way he is. That very likely feel that I agree with you, because he's a human being, and whether it's $70 million or 75, which is a ton of money to us, it's still, they just gave somebody that did not come through their system almost $1 billion like that. Not to mention suites and jets and all these other concessions the Mets made to bring Soto, and as a human being, yeah, I get it. Pete's probably sitting there saying, geez, you can't scrape two nickels together for me? This couldn't be easier. So I understand all that. But I think that once, and you know, everybody is different. And I do think that he did not handle his free agency well last year. I think he became a little bit tight. But I think that, I said this when Sal was out, I think a lot of Met fans, and this is where I think it could open up Pete and make him feel free to produce this year, because I do agree that he's hurt right now and he's not going to be enthralled with the deal, even though he's probably going to sign it. I think that so many Met fans have put up this exterior because they really thought, like many of us did as recently as a week and a half or so ago, that Pete was going to move on. And they were conditioning themselves to deal with what seemed to be an inevitable departure of one of their all-time favorite players, certainly for this generation. And they made it seem like they didn't really want Pete to stay. Now, I know that you have a little bit of a different opinion. I know I certainly don't cast this as the widest net pertaining to 100% of Met fans. I get that. But I can promise that there is a wide number, a massive number of Met fans who have been calling us, we're repeat, he's not that good, gonna move on.
Yeah.
When Pete does re-sign, they will be so happy.
Right.
And I think that that adulation that Pete will then feel, I think that that will, at least when he's there on a nightly basis to do his job, it will alleviate any tension or distaste he has for the franchise, and he will produce enough.
I would love to think that that's the case, but I've seen him get adulation from the fan base the last couple years and not perform. Look, you could go two ways, right? One of two ways here with Pete. He could either say, nobody wanted me, including this team. Nobody thought I was worth anything. I'm going to go show everybody what type of player I am and go out there and have a monster year. Or he can do what he did a year ago and wilt under the, I don't even want to say pressure, because I don't think it's about pressure. He had a good postseason.
Yep.
Just playing with the
heaviness, the burden.
What people don't see,
people just see Pete Alonso getting in the batter's box every night, right? And 34 home runs, 88 RBIs. What's going on? What they don't see, and this is the human aspect. And again, you don't care about that. I don't mean you. I mean fans. And I didn't when I was. Right. You know, I get it. How's your team doing? How's your player doing? But what we don't see, what you don't see out there, Met fans, is maybe before he gets out of his car to walk into Citi Field, he's on the phone for an hour with Scott Boras talking about contracts and this and that. And like, that is a heaviness when you think about having to pick up and move your family and who wants you and who might not, and tax implications and generational wealth. I know it's a good problem to have at the end of the day. Trust me. It's not like trying to make mortgage when you have nothing in the bank. Understood. But man, it's we trivialize what he had to deal with last year. It is a lot. And listen, when you have pressure, that's a good thing. Like, pressure is actually what's the expression? Pressure is a
privilege.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Sal. Pressure is a privilege because with pressure, that means we're expecting you to do something. You and I have pressure.
Right.
Hey, we could just have jobs. You could be at Home Depot still. I could be coaching. I could be a whatever. Nobody could know us. But the pressure, which can be tough sometimes in our world, the pressure is good because we are here and it's a privilege. So I think it's going to get done. I don't think Pete will be thrilled with the deal, but I think, more importantly, the Mets will be better with him than without him.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joe is calling from Valley Stream. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Pressure is a privilege.
Yes. Yes. It was escaping me for a moment.
Yeah.
Why can't they
pressure's
do
been a
3 years?
For Pete. That's the issue.
Yeah, you're right. Why can't they do 3 years, $75 million with incentives? If you hit 40 home runs, 50 home runs, here's another $5 million. Here's another $10 million if you bat 275. Why can't they do that? And a quick side note, I know you don't like hang up and listen, but I got to go back to work. Why can't every other contract in the sports be incentive-based? Why are we always pounding people for what they've done and what they're going to instead of what they're going to do?
Well, that's a different question. That's actually one of the most important questions because so many deals. Thank you, Joe. And that's why, Sal, we've seen this pretty stark recalibration of free agent contracts here because, you know, hell, even Mike Trout got paid for 30%. Like, Mike Trout's new contract years ago with the Angels was already for 30% of what he's done.
Right.
It makes no sense. Like, you know, like, why am I paying you on what you've already done? I want to pay you on what you're about to do.
Right. Yeah, well, that's why I think teams have gotten smarter. Everybody's talking about the owners and collusion. I think teams have gotten smarter. Saying, I'm not going to pay so-and-so based on what he did. I'm going to pay him based on what I project that he's going to do. And even that is a difficult thing. There are incentives involved. That's why I like the idea. Sandy Alderson did this years ago, and I think David Stearns does it to a certain extent. You know, last year in the rotation, signing guys on a one-year deal, saying, okay, well, we know we're going to get you're doing that. You are paying incentive-based if you sign a one-year deal when you know they're in their walk year because they're pitching or playing for a new contract.
Yeah, true.
That's the way that you want to do it. Have guys motivated to play for something. The problem is with Pete in particular, BT, he had that a year ago. The Mets basically, Cohen said it flat out. I hope he goes out there and hits 50 home runs and makes it difficult on me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He had every opportunity to do it. He didn't. So while you say that the Mets will be better with Pete in the lineup, I think in theory, yes, like you add Pete, you're not losing anything. Okay, the payroll goes up a little bit. Who cares? It's not our money. And the assumption that they bring him back, it's not going to take a roster spot away from anybody. But is he actually going to perform? Because last year, one of the Mets' most successful seasons in the history of the franchise, Pete Alonso was one of the least impactful players that I've seen for a guy who, you know, hit 30-whatever home runs and drove an 80 run.
True, but if he doesn't hit that opposite field home run, the Mets season ends with a thud. And, you know, some of the other stories, whether it was Vientos or Lindor having these big October moments, they're not written because Pete extended the season. As frustrating as he was during the season, and when he dropped the pop-up before the home run, Pete extended the season.
Yeah, if he doesn't hit that home run,
I think he's gone.
Okay, well, what do you... Okay, but then why should that make a difference?
I'm not saying it should. I'm not saying that it should. I think that he probably... The optic. I mean, just think about how you felt when he dropped that. I'm like, good God almighty, this is the end right here. You can't bring him back.
Even before he dropped the ball, like, just the whole year was immensely frustrating.
But they didn't have Soto yet, Sal. You don't think he's going to reap the rewards of having this guy on base 43% of the time?
I mean,
if he can't, then he's a stiff, and I know he's not a stiff.
Well, I'm asking you, do you trust him? Because I don't.
Do I trust him? Okay, so I need to streamline the question. Okay. Do I trust him to do what? I need more.
To produce.
But that's a very broad term.
Okay, well,
do I trust him at 35 and 90?
What'd you say?
35 and 90. I trust it.
35 and 90 with Soto, assuming
I might even go higher.
Soto's going to hit in front of him.
I know. Do I trust 40? Do I trust 35 and 105? I do. Do I trust 38 and 109? Yeah, I probably do.
Let's really play the hypothetical here. Let's say they do bring him back.
Now, I don't even like the guy's a player.
That's what I'm trying to get at, right? So
I really don't, but I think that they need him now. They need him now.
Right, but why? He didn't do anything last year.
Who's hitting behind Alonso? Behind Soto?
I mean, look, they...
Who? Nimmo?
No, it
Marte?
Would be Vientos. Right now, I think you'd
Siri?
Go... I think you'd go Lindor. I think you'd go Soto. I think you'd go Vientos and Nimmo. Now, obviously...
You can't have Nimmo bat fourth, dude.
Right, but what if Pete hits 220 again?
Well, okay, he might.
Like, I trust Alvarez to have a bounce back year and Nimmo to be an all-star more than I do Pete to regain his form from now 3 years ago.
Okay, now that is a very interesting statement. I obviously can't tell you what to feel, but that seems unfair.
Maybe.
That seems unfair. Well, but Alvarez has done nothing, and Nimmo's numbers are going in the wrong direction as well as on base. It's dropping at this ridiculous rate by the year.
Yeah, I just think
it is, Sal.
I think their mentalities are different. Nimmo was playing like an all-star and was impactful in the first half of last year. Pete never did that. Even though Pete was the all-star, he never did that. And by the way, like, I get that. Having Pete and adding him is better than nothing, right? You could, the power should be there. Let's just say Pete does have a big year. 45 homers, 110 ribbies.
It's 262, let's say.
That's a monster year
Huge.
For him, right? What do you think the play is then? Let's assume that Pete, if they do bring him back, we know it's going to be a shorter-term deal.
100%.
And we would expect, I don't know this, we would expect that there's going to be some opt-outs. Is it going to be year two, year one? Who the hell knows?
Mm-hmm.
But you would expect that Boris and Pete are going to figure out a way to make sure they opt out to maximize their thing. So let's just say he has a monster year. He opts out.
Uh-huh.
What kind of contract do you think Pete gets? Forget about from the Mets, just in general.
It pretty much the same thing.
Me too.
Because he's not going to get quicker, not going to get younger, not going to become a lefty fielder, not going to become a lefty hitter, and he's not going to become a third baseman. So the markets change. But to me, that's not the point. Like, if this was 5, 6, 7 years, which clearly there's no chance in hell it will be, then to me that would handcuff the franchise to a point moving forward where that would be untenable for me. Zero interest. So, and I'm not even a big believer in Pete's talents. You know that. But I do believe I've got to be fair to him in this regard. I've always tried to be fair. The man is a prodigious home run hitter.
Yeah.
And see, at least after, let's say he puts up those big numbers that you just gave me, at least, not that the Mets would resign him for big money. Maybe he opts out, maybe he goes elsewhere, maybe he doesn't opt out, maybe he stays another year, whatever. But by then I have more answers. I know who Mauricio is. I know exactly what Vientos is. I get another year from Alvarez. Like, I have more definitive intel on my team, which means I can make a more educated decision because I know what we have or maybe what we don't.
All this is to me would be delaying the inevitable. I think Pete wants a big contract.
He ain't getting it.
Okay, I don't know if he's getting that ever from anywhere.
Never.
But he's certainly not getting it from the Mets.
I agree.
And then this 1 year, so we're expecting that it's going to work just because the Mets would want to bring him back or whatever. Like, again, with his mentality off of the last 2 years and knowing how he's been valued or lack thereof this offseason, like, you would bet on Pete to have a big year? I would not. I think it's a mistake. When you have a bad relationship, a relationship that you know has run its course, for whatever reason, man, I get it. I've been in them. Like, oh, there's the appeal.
We've all been there.
You remember the good times. You want to keep it going or get back together.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point, the way the offseason has gone, too much damage has been done between both sides to make this a successful marriage, even if it's for just another year.
You might be right. You might be onto something. All I'm saying is, I'm trying to mitigate risk, okay?
Yeah.
And while giving him a ludicrous contract would be incredibly risky, and again, that's never going to happen, whether it's the 2 or the 3 years for decent money, know you're going to get 30-something bombs, like, that is something I need behind Juan Soto from a Mets perspective. Let me ask you this, Sal.
Yeah.
If Pete Alonso had 2 years to go on his contract, and, like, we're not even here, like, say the Mets would have extended him a couple of years ago, bought out a couple of years of arbitration, no funny money, nothing bonkers, not like Acuna with the Braves years ago, but he had let's say he's got 2 years to go, and he's making $21 and $23 million this year, you'd feel pretty good, and you'd feel pretty good about him batting behind Juan Soto, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So you don't think that he'll be able to compartmentalize, because as much as he stumbled a year, he's still at 34 home runs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the damage is done. To me, it's not about value or what he gets. It's not even about, well, what are the other better options? I mean, I just feel like this particular, and again, I've been back and forth on this because a month and a half ago, I was saying, just sign, just go, what are you doing? Like, why are we messing around here? There are no other good options.
Yep.
You need another bat to protect Juan Soto. Just go give Pete, the 4 years, $120 million. But that's a different scenario that I'd be bringing him back in.
Because you think he'd be happier.
Yes, I do. Then, since then, it's been Pete's looking elsewhere. The Mets are saying, we feel like we're moving on. And, who knows how this whole thing is going to play out. But if they said that, right, the Mets said, you heard Cohen, what he had to say at Amazing Day, even though I think that brought them two closer together. And then who knows what happened with Toronto. I mean, Evan was talking about, Pete's wife having an impact. Maybe she didn't want to play in Toronto. I mean, whatever. Who knows what's going on? But it feels like Pete has no other options. And because we were saying, well, the Mets obviously could use another bat in that lineup to protect Soto, well, why not just have it together? But that an arranged marriage like that, or being forced because Pete has no better options, the Mets have no better option, that to me is not the right recipe for success.
For long-term success, I agree. But it's nothing that, you know, a three-run, 417-foot missile in the first inning or the fourth inning of opening day or the home opener against Toronto with Soto on second or on first and Lindor on second and 50,000 Met fans, you know, just showering him with adulation, which even if he is, you know, turned off by the tone and the tenor of the negotiations, I think the baseball vibe, which he will enjoy even more so than last year because Soto's here, and the I believe the overwhelming happiness from 80, 85, 90% of the fan base, despite what they said for the past month, I think that would put him in a good enough mental space for it to benefit the Mets from a baseball perspective.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Hard to believe pitchers and catchers reporting next week. So we're excited for baseball season. Still no home for Pete Alonso just yet. You get the feeling that, I mean, tell me, BT, where are the other teams that we've seen? The only other team we've seen has been Toronto, and it seems like that's over now for Pete. I mean, I guess we heard a little rumblings with the Angels. Who the hell knows? I mean, maybe they dragged this thing out. No idea. But for me, at this point, especially after Cohen said what he said at Amazing Day, I feel like it's been inevitable that, you know, that combined with the fact that the stuff with Toronto and Pete seemed to have gone sideways, it seems inevitable that eventually the Mets and Pete, when that is, who knows, but they'll come to an agreement, and I think it would be a mistake. Let me ask you it this way. How many wins, like they did the Pecota projections yesterday, we went over that, like, what's the difference, do you think, if Pete Alonso's back versus if he's not?
Well, I mean, the Pecota rankings or their totals were whacked out anyway.
Oh,
so
you do your own. Like, what do you think the Mets are right now? BT's rankings.
The Mets without Pete, or assuming that Pete's
right
there?
Now,
without,
no
okay,
Pete.
Right now, so obviously no Pete. Yeah. I would say the Mets feel like, to me, about an 85, 86 win team.
Okay, and then to you, if they do add Pete, then what?
Maybe 88, but obviously potential to go up a little bit more if he has a big. I'm just banking on an average season. Like last year was a subpar season.
To me, I think the Mets are still a 90 win team over that right now.
Yep.
I mean, remember, dude, you're now in my projections, right? Pecota has their projections. I could give you my projections. For me, okay, well, how could the Mets get to 90 wins? Like, if we would have done this last year, and we did, and we're probably like, what, 75, 78?
I think I said 76.
Yeah, and maybe I was a little bit higher, but a lot of those are like, and if everything goes perfectly, maybe they could get to 85-ish, whatever.
Yeah.
This year, I do think that because of the addition of Soto, and in my mind, Alvarez, big bounce back year. I also think Nimmo finally, now, again, I could be proven wrong. I'm just telling you my gut feel. I think Nimmo has a big bounce back year and has an all-star type year. If Lindor's going to be the same, I think Vientos may drop off a little bit, but he'll be the same. Soto's going to be a mega star. I think there's depth in that lineup. I think they should be okay defensively. I like the rotation. You know, Senga coming back. I like it. I don't love it. I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Should be on par with what last year's was. And I think the bullpen is much better than it was a year ago, even going in. I don't know how they patched it together a year ago. All those things being said, I think they're a 90, maybe 93 win team. That's without Pete. And even if Pete comes back, like, I don't think it moves the needle that much. Maybe it makes things easier where you say, okay, well, now if Alvarez doesn't have a big bounce back or Nimmo isn't an all-star, now you have the option of, like, it makes the margin for error a little bit better, but I don't think it moves the needle as far as, oh, now they got Pete and they're really going to take off.
Well, see, I don't look at it so much in, all right, Pete equates to, you know, 1.6 more wins.
Right.
I have no idea. What I do know is that Pete's presence alleviates pressure for everybody. So let's look at two worlds, a world with Pete and a world without Pete. So the world without Pete, and you mentioned Alvarez, and he's got pressure regardless.
Yeah.
He's got like Volpe from the A. He's got to start showing he's the real deal, all right? But let's say, you know, Vientos at first base, and there's a slight stumble. I still think he's really good, so I don't expect much of a drop. But, you know, learning a new position, maybe pitched around a little bit, expands the zone. No
league
Pete Alonso, league learning him, all the things we talk about. And then on the other side, the other corner is Brett Beatty, who is hitting, I'm just, again, these are two options. You know, 209, striking out a lot, booting a few balls at third, not really looking the part like he really has not yet. And now you're sitting there saying, all right, well, these guys are scuffling a little bit, and now we're going to pitch around Soto because there's no judge behind him. And now the Mets lineup in the Mets world is very much complicated. Now, you could have a situation as well where Vientos looks the same but has an 850 OPS, and Beatty's got 9 home runs in May, and he's hitting 280. So I understand that there's wild fluctuations there, so nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. The one thing that I do know, unless he had a season-altering injury, is that Pete Alonso is going to hit more home runs than anybody on the Mets. He's going to hit more than Soto. He's going to hit more Lindor. He's going to be the home run leader on the Mets. He's going to be.
I'm not sold that that's going to be the case.
Listen, understood.
I mean, see, that's another
To me, he's definitely going to be.
That's another big part of this thing for me with Pete. Now, he should, ideally. I mean, who knows how many Soto's going to hit. We know roughly what Lindor would hit. I mean, Alvarez, if everything goes well, could he be a 30 home run guy? That's asking a lot probably at this point, although his number last year, I think, was, what, 24 and a half?
I think it was 23. Yeah, but even if he hit 30, think about this. We're squawking that Pete hit 34, 35, and it was an awful season. And we're saying if Alvarez can hike it up to 30, I mean, you've got to deal in realism.
Well, like, you should be able to pencil him in for minimum 30-something home runs.
Talking about Pete Alonso.
Yes.
Correct. And I don't know that you could do that for anybody else. Maybe Soto. And again, Soto's going to have a higher average and a sick OPS, but the dimensions are different. It's just different.
What about Vientos in a full year?
I think Vientos is more, I think he's going to profile, and this is why I love him, to be a higher average, a lot of doubles, and like high 20s home runs. I don't think he's a 40 home run guy. I think Vientos, that's why I think eventually he could be a three hitter.
He had 27.
I know he did. No, I love the kid. You know I love him.
In 111 games.
That's true.
He played 162 and had 34.
Yeah, but he also had 53 his rookie year with not a whole lot around him, and he had 48 the year.
We got to throw out the 53 at this point because he's never sniffed it again.
Okay, but what did he have 2 years ago? When he hit 220, he hit 48 home runs 46. And 100, and how many RBIs? 137?
He went 53, COVID year, throw that out.
Yep.
37, 40, 46, 34.
Okay, so he's a...
Dude, I mean, last year, in a walk year, he's age 29.
Mm-hmm.
In a team where we had a team around him finally having success almost every which way you looked, he had 34 homers and 88 ribbies. That is like... That is his worst year.
It's a bad season. There's no way around it. I'm not even an Alonso fan. You know this.
Well, that's why I'm so curious. That's why, like, I thought we'd be on the same page
with
this. We're
not. Not with this. Go ahead, Sal.
I'm eliminating the emotions from a quote-unquote Mets fan perspective.
Okay.
Because I
have no emotion because I'm not a Mets fan.
I understand that. So I'm trying to eliminate those emotions because I understand that a lot of Mets fans want Pete back. I also understand, even aside from the emotion, why people would think the Mets would be better with Pete. I was one of those people, and I still don't think they're going to be worse off with Pete. I just think that us thinking that this is some great thing for the Mets are really going to be a needle mover or like a magnificent change, I don't think that that's going to be the case.
Understood. And I don't think it's a great thing. I just think it's too easy not to get done. Like, you have a baseline of production you know he's going to give you. Absolute floor.
So why not?
Exactly. Well, the floor, the home run floor and the salary ceiling, there's enough of an intersection where it makes sense for the Mets. It might not make great sense for Pete, but nobody else has come with a better offer, so tough.
If both parties aren't really into it, and Pete, the individual, is not happy and can't be in a spot where he's going to feel comfortable to go out there and perform at a high level, that's where I think it could be a detriment.
It could be, but then Pete can pack his bags and go play in Taiwan. Because nobody else is offering him a contract.
Understood.
Was he going to walk around with a sourpuss the entire... Hey, Pete, you know, we all want to be happy. Generally, the more offers you have from a business perspective, the happier you are. He's going to have to get over that. And by the way, I think that he would.
Chris is in Cranford. What's up, Chris?
Oh, Cohen's right. This is exhausting, guys.
Yeah, it is.
So listen, I know whether you want Pete, I have a question. Whether you want Pete back or not, there's a way this gets so much worse. After the year we had last year, after signing Soto, this can't go into spring training. This has to be a drop dead date of players report it's over.
You mean just in general with free agency?
Pete, right? With Pete's situation, when does this end? When do the Mets say, okay, we're done? We can't have Mark Vientos wondering if he's playing third base or first base.
Remember, the Mets did, and they didn't say we're done forever. Cohen himself said, I'm never going to say never, but they did say we are planning as if the Mets, the report was, the quote was, the Mets expected Pete to sign somewhere else. After that report, immediately, they went out there and signed Jesse Winker and A.J. Minter. It doesn't mean it could never happen again, as Cohen once said after the fact at Saturday Amazing Day, but I feel like the Mets did start to make plans with the idea that they were moving on from Pete. They can't force the guy to sign. Sal, what do you want him to do?
No, but Sal, do you think it's healthy for this team to have whether Pete's coming back or not during spring training? Or could the Mets say, Pete, spring training's here, make a decision, or you're not coming back?
Yeah, but Chris,
it's
not spring training yet, Chris. If this thing, and by
the way, I know.
Well, but listen, Chris, how about this? Let's say, and it's not going to drag on, but just say that it actually dragged on until March,
right?
Okay? Because that was his point. Like, it's going to be interference, right, so to speak, with the Mets' ability to do their jobs. Nonsense. You show up at Port St. Lucie. Lindor's with the middle infielders. Alvarez with the catchers. Nimmo's with the outfielders. Mania's with the pitchers. Soto's with the outfielders. And you do your job. And then Pete either walks through the doors and assumes the fourth spot in the lineup. And I know he's a bit goofy, but I would think in most part, large part, people would be happy to see him. And then if he plays well, all's forgotten. It's as simple as that.
But they did wait for a while with J.D. Martinez. And I know Martinez is a lot older than Pete.
Yeah,
I remember
it
took him a while to get going. Like, I would not want that important of a player, right? I mean, Pete, assuming that he comes back, he's going to be hitting cleanup for this team.
Yes.
Like, it's not J.D. Martinez and a DH role that's, like, an added extra bonus.
I agree with you.
So, and also you worry about the game shape. Like, and I don't think the Mets are going to let this thing drag on. They tried to, like Cohen said it a couple weeks ago, before even Amazing Day.
Yeah.
They said, we're basically planning without Pete. Like, we can't be held up. We got to build a bullpen here.
Mm-hmm.
Two things that were telling to me. And it's been reported as such also. Andy Martino had it before Stanek signed. He was saying that the Mets were looking at Jansen, and Jansen was the more expensive option in the bullpen. And if they were to pivot from their idea of Pete to Winker, A.J. Minter, and say Jansen, then fitting Pete would have become much more difficult. So once Cohen said what he said at Amazing Day, I was like, I think now it's going to start to get... they're going to come back together. And then they signed Stanek and not the more expensive option in Jansen, which really makes me think it was going to come more together. When that's going to happen, who knows? But I also don't think it's going to, like, it's not going to go into March or impact the season, I wouldn't expect.
No, and guys, it's not like the NFL where your quarterback's missing camp.
Yeah, well.
Or your starting point guard is, you know, showing up a month into the season. It's baseball, man.
You do want it to get in shape. Like, we've seen these guys that hold out for contracts right up until the end of spring training.
He's in shape. He's doing
Pete?
He's in Pete shape. He's doing his deadlifts. He's doing his squats. He's doing his heavy lifting. Doing his T-work. He's ready to play.
I wouldn't want to have anybody missing spring training. Matter of fact,
I wouldn't either. But I don't think he's going to. I think it's going to happen in 2 days, if not today.
Even a couple of, if when you had the World Baseball Classic, even a couple of guys like that, where they were missing. I hate that idea of spring training.
Eckler himself,
at the time I talked to him, was saying that, you know, it wasn't a big deal. All these guys are going to be... But I'd rather have everybody in camp, especially the important part.
Well, me too, in an optimal world. Yeah, sure. But this is unique circumstances. And by the way, this is now a trend in baseball. Like, the Mets aren't the only team that's dealing with this. I mean, Bregman hasn't signed yet. I mean, there's a chance that Bregman shows up to the Astros. Where are they? I forget what part of Florida they're in. Haines City, maybe? Either way, he shows up. I'm going to say Haines City. He shows up in Haines City. And, you know, it's 3 weeks into their camp. Like, this is now the trend in baseball where players sign late. I just don't think it's that disruptive. Now, I think if you are...
maybe more for pitchers. We've seen pitchers.
Yeah, okay. 100%. I think if you're a despised player, I think if you're a selfish player, I think if you're a lazy player, yeah, you might get some of those eye rolls. But I think if you're generally thought to be a good guy and a productive player, these guys know it's business. Go get your money.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls. 888-808-1019. We have a lot to do today. We'll jam it up the A-gap a little bit later on, get into the Super Bowl stuff. We have Thomas Dimitroff scheduled to join us as well. What time is that, BT? 1:20?
I think it's 1:20.
1:20 with Dimitroff, who, of course, interviewed for the Jets job, former Falcons GM. So
I can't wait to talk to him. Yeah. I can't wait to ask him, like, what did Woody ask you? What about Rodgers? I mean,
there's a lot that I want. Yes. I've wanted to talk to him for a while, but even more so after he interviewed for the Jets job. So we're looking forward to that as well. We'll get into the Knicks and their big win.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Kearney, Sal Licata, back on the Fan on this Tuesday morning. Super ball week, BT. Looking forward to getting into the game more so as the week goes on. I know we'll have Baldinger coming up, I think, on Thursday. We have Dimitroff later on, so we can discuss a little bit of that with him. We'll have Kostos in his normal spot on Friday. You and Hoff will be dressed up in your wrestling costumes to pay off that debt on Friday. So we'll get into the Super Bowl and all that stuff. The media day yesterday did nothing for me.
I didn't even watch 1 second of it. I mean, it's gotten so stale.
It's ridiculous.
But it's so corny.
Yeah, we'll get more into that. We wanted to start with Pete Alonso today. I didn't get a chance to give my take last week being out with the eye surgery. You had, I know, the show the day Boomer was saying that it was going to happen on Friday. So it made me think a little bit about, it's not that I don't want Pete back. It's that I don't believe at this point that it's best for Pete or the Mets. This is also Pete's perspective. Like, if I'm him, I want to go somewhere else. His wife doesn't want to go to Toronto. I mean, I'd say, look, honey, this is best for business here. You think my wife wants me to work two jobs and not get home all night? It is what it is. You want food on the table? I got to work. I'm sorry. I'm out the house at 8 a.m. May not get back till 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. Maybe days longer than that. Tough. It is what it is. This is the commute. This is what we got. Like, I'm not telling somebody how to live their life. It would be, to me, it would be best for Pete Alonso's career. Forget about his personal life with his wife for a year. To bet on himself for one season elsewhere, go mash, and then hope to maximize on that. Similar to what Matt Chapman did when he took the 2-year deal, whatever, with an opt-out with the Giants. Like, get out of New York and the pressure of it. That's from, like, Pete's perspective. He didn't want to do that. I know he didn't have a ton of offers, but I'm sure one team would have taken him for a year or two on a good value, no?
Well, I mean, listen, I look at Pete, and there's a great player on a great contract, you know, from the player's perspective. That's like Juan Soto. Juan's a great player, and Juan got a great contract for himself. Aaron Judge, great player, great contract for himself. The reason why I want to see this just finally punch in the end zone from a Mets perspective is because Pete is a good player, and it's going to be a good team contract because nobody else wants him.
Right, so it's a good value. I get it. Like, there's minimal. The pushback should be, Sal, why don't you want the marriage to continue? The pushback is, well, what's the risk? And there really isn't much risk. Like, worst case scenario, Pete doesn't perform, and the Mets just lessen his role. Like,
yeah, but we're making it seem like he hit 17 home runs last year.
I'm saying worst case scenario is he doesn't perform. And he didn't have an impact last year. That's my point. Like, he almost got in the way. Get out of the way. It was about Pete. Seriously, it was about Pete Alonso. When is Pete going to do something? They were waiting for Pete to do something. Now the beauty of it is it was proven last year. They don't need Pete to do something. They didn't need it last year. They certainly don't need it now with Soto. Anything they get would kind of be gravy from Pete. But worst case is, okay, well, he doesn't perform, just lessen his role, make him a part-time DH or whatever before you eventually move on.
I just think we're being unfair to Pete here. I mean, if he's like 36 and so diminished, like, the guy's going to be a four-hitter.
Yeah.
He's going to be the number four-hitter on a team that's supposed to be a playoff team.
Yeah, he was their four-hitter last year and had minimal impact.
Though. I know, but you know what? Listen, it's a tough thing. You look at some of Mattingly's best years. Who was his leadoff hitter? Ricky Henderson. The year when Mattingly had 145 RBIs, Ricky was the leadoff man. Lindor wound up cranking things up tremendously, but as the season deepened, as much as we focus on Pete's minuscule RBI total from the cleanup spot, you know, if Lindor, and it's not to start bashing Lindor, I don't mean that. It's just so much depends on what is in front of you. If Lindor was better the first month or two of the season, I guarantee that Pete has 15, 18 more ribbies, and suddenly it's 95 RBIs, and it doesn't seem that bad.
His clutch numbers were awful.
I'm not here to defend Pete as anything other than a power hitter, and the Mets need him, and that's it. There's no better options unless you're getting Vladdy today.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not the reason to stay together, that there's no better options. And I think that's what's happening here. I think Pete says, well, there aren't any better options. I think the Mets are saying, well, yeah, we take him back at a good value, and really there are no other options, so why not? Let's stay together. No, that's not the right reason to stay together. You'd want to stay together because Pete really wants to be here and because the Mets really want Pete Alonso to be here because he was a good performer. Now this is going to be a shocking statement here. I could see a scenario where Pete is out of the league in 3 years. Look at his decline in numbers. 260, forget the COVID year. Mm-hmm. 260, 262, 271, 217, 240. Like, the days of Pete being a 260 hitter, that hasn't happened since 2022. Now, you're going back, that's 3 years removed from that. 2 years decline, not to mention the home runs that have dropped off. 53, 37, 40, 46, and then 34 a year ago. Not to mention the RBI. 131, 118, and then 88. Like, you'd hope that Pete could have a 35, 110, 250 season or two. I don't know if I'd guarantee that that's going to happen.
What would you put him down for now? Let's say he's back with the Mets and he's batting four and Soto's three. Give me some hard numbers. Average, OPS, home runs, ribbies. I'll do the same thing.
It's hard, though, BT, because the circumstances you would think would benefit him with the lineup around him.
Yep.
However, it's still potentially... I got to see what the contract would be first.
Hey, you know what it's going to be. 70 million, 3 years, an opt-out, 72 million.
Yeah, either... You know what? That's a good point. Either way, it's not going to be the security that he wants.
No chance.
So he's going to be playing under that pressure, and I don't think that this is going to be...
So that's the biggest fear for you.
For me, yes.
Yeah, all right.
But I'd still have to be fair and say 33 homers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, if he doesn't drive at 100 runs minimum.
I got my numbers for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
245 average.
Yeah.
38 home runs, 105 RBIs, 810 OPS.
Yeah, I mean, you'd obviously take that.
Are you a better team with that?
Yeah.
That's why you do the contract.
You think... I mean, he's also
and then not, everybody else slots down. Less pressure also, on Vientos.
He's also not good defensively. I know people are saying, like, yeah, he's serviceable.
Oh,
he's better.
I know. Yeah. I think he's vastly overrated. His scoop percentage. I can't turn a 3.63. He throws weird.
Is he worth $30 million a year? Like, whatever. I'm just throwing that number out because of the rough total.
I don't think he's going to quite get 30. No. So the answer would be no. Do I think that the Mets need him based on what's out there and where they are? I do. I still do.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. Well, I think the Mets need him for another year or two.
I do. I get it.
Doesn't seem like you get it, though. You don't want him.
No. It's not that I don't want him. I wanted him under better circumstances. I think damage has been done.
So you think he's mentally broken? That's really what it comes down to.
Did he look mentally strong to you a year ago?
No, but
what's happened since? Like, since he turned down the contract 2 years ago, it snowballed to the worst level possible.
Well, I know.
And he's been embarrassed here. Boris has been embarrassing.
Boris has done him such a disservice.
They've got no other offers. Like, not one team, all that great power, not one team would say, hey, we'll give you 3 years.
The Red Sox with the green monster, 270 feet away, come crank 40 bombs and 40 doubles. I hear you. Boris has been an embarrassment. But you got to understand, when he dropped, I'm going to give you an analogy. When he dropped that pop-up, right? I remember sitting there, you and I have been at the forefront of this Pete stuff more than anybody. Yeah. And even me before you, separate shows, because I was on this before you and I worked together. Right. I felt badly for him. To me, that is akin to going out at a high school talent show or a musical in high school. And not that I did this, but you know what I'm saying. And as you go to sing your solo, you slip on a puddle of water and your pants fall down, okay? And then you get up and you deliver the most amazing rendition of whatever song you were supposed to sing, and everybody gives you a standing O. That was the high and the low. Drop of the pop-up, bang, home runs, Mets keep going. Off the greatest closer this year and one of the best in the last 10 years or so. So I hear you. I do believe he's a little mentally fragile. I do believe that he's very turned off by the business of this. I do believe that he's hurt. Because I think that Pete's a big-hearted, softy teddy bear, and he wants to be loved. But I also saw a guy who was at the lowest of lows drop a pop-up that we would have caught when we were 9, hit a home run off a guy that nobody takes yard to extend the Mets season. He did respond.